praise God. You know, the only way you get to know who he is to press in. You got to read his word. You get in there, you're going to find, because all you hear is, God's just a mean God, right? He's about death. Well, we read a lot of death in the Bible, yes, of course. There's a lot of history in the Bible. We overlook what David had to say about him. I'd say David lived a tumultuous life, to say the least. And he always came back and said, but you're a good God. You're loving, you're kind. Your mercies endure forever, every time. And that is such a great thing once you get to know who God is. Well, praise God. We got a few things we're going to do this morning. By the way, can you guys see the tracks that look like tire tracks? That's from the bus that hit me earlier. Everybody turned around and looked. I'm like, what? Oh, praise God. Oh, well, I've thrown her under the bus a few dozen times, so she can do it once or twice. Praise God. Well, we're going to bless the tithe and offering, and then, like I said, we got a few things we need to do real quick. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are a good God. You're a good Father. Lord, your word tells us from your mouth that if we would bring the tithe and offering into the storehouse, that you would bless us, Father. You said, I dare you to try me in this. So, Father, as a testament, I stand here. And I present to you today not only my tithe and offering, but the tithe and offering of every believer in here today, Father, who trusts you to be there. Now, Father, I pray that you bless it according to your word, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated for just a minute. We'll let the kids go. We got a few things I need to do. One thing I need to do is I do need to go over this. Most of you got it, but I've been asked to specifically read it. First off, today is War on the Floor, so if you need a tithe or you need to get a prayer request, go ahead and get one, fill it out, and the usher will collect it before we pray. And also, those of you who may not have known, if you weren't on Facebook or didn't get a message otherwise, we are taking up an offering today. I got a call from Pastor Bob Montgomery, who I went to Kiev with a few years back, and he got a call from the church that his interpreter attends, and they are trying to get refugees still out of Ukraine, particularly the Kiev area and surrounding areas, but they need a vehicle. And as you can expect, vehicles aren't exactly cheap. So they have a certain amount of money, and we're trying to help them out with the rest. I have a certain amount I'd like to see this body be able to send, so we are, so pretty much whatever comes in today, and we're going to send it out, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. Whatever comes in today, we're going to match out of the church's tithe and offering to give. And for those who don't understand, the church actually tithes. It's not a requirement. But it was something God told us to do years ago, and I'm going to tell you right now, when you can sit in a building that is paid for, you can remodel a building like this with $3,000 in your building fund, and it did not cost $3,000, it was $18,000 before 3 months went by, but God brought it all in. God did it, and I'm telling you, God will do it again. So anyhow, but we are going to send the offering up, make the check out to the church. If you didn't have anything ready and you would like to, you could still give it to us. We're going to write one check and send it up north, and then they have a way they're going to send it and be able to get it over there. And Pastor Bob said, I need you to understand this. I trust this church explicitly. When the pastor says it's what he's going to do, it's what he's going to do. So just you can write out a special check and just write Ukraine on it. Also, today we're going to have a fellowship meal back in the conference room. Hope you can join us. And no, I did not test the food yet today. But here's one in particular. This, as you can tell, even right now as we're quieted down and they're starting to get wound up, we have a lot of little kids in here. We need help. We need help. The teachers are overrun. We're getting more of them And the Indians are getting restless in there, so to speak. They need help. So if you can help, please see Miss Michelle. Where'd she go? Right there she is. About this, because again, we need this kind of desperately, because we're just getting more and more, and we're getting a couple of them that are getting their voices, and everybody knows what happens when a baby gets its voice. It's kind of like a preacher. They like to hear it, and so they keep going. So, anyhow, but one thing we have to do, we recently had a membership class opening, and so we'd like to welcome 4 new members. So if I could have John Michael Davidson come up. Melissa Ann Davidson, she goes by Missy. Alexis Michelle Davidson. And Robert Joseph McCoy. Come on down. You're the next contestants on. Welcome, guys. Welcome. Now, I'll shake your hand and then I'll get it peeled out. Usually my wife is here helping me, but she has something else she has to take care of. So people wonder, well, Pastor, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean to be a member? You're telling me I'm here for you. I'm part of this body. I belong. Okay? It's kind of like a marriage. That's the way I explained it. I said, you know, we're part of a body. We're all part of one body. I said, but not everybody can be the ear. You gotta have a nose. You gotta have an eyeball. You gotta have eyelashes. You gotta have all the parts of a body for a body to function properly. Anybody missing a part of your body can testify to that. And when it's missing, you still feel it, don't you? Where's he at? Oh, he's not in here. He's back here. Yeah. But anyhow, just picking on my friend. But anyhow, so welcome our 4 new members. Thank you, guys. All right, now the super kids are dismissed. Praise God. If you have an offering, you can take it back here and give it to them right now. Yeah. Or we can take them at the end of the service as well. Yeah, it just kind of came up. It was a spur of the moment thing. He called me the other day, and I was like, well, I've only got a couple days to get this, so I sent it out on Facebook. So if you're wondering, why should I ever have Facebook? It's a really great place I can get hold of people, especially on the church family page. So it's a good thing to have. Facebook's evil. It's how you use it. Money's evil if you use it bad, right? All right. Praise God. You know, I was at the doctor the other day, and I told him, I said, you know, as a doctor, I think I'm, you know, I've been trying to be a little more healthy and trying to lose a little bit of weight. And I said, Doc, I think I need to start working out some. He said, well, can I recommend 25 crunches a day? I said, well, I'll see what I can do. Good news, I'm up to 10 crunch bars a day. My sugar's off the charts, but all right, now that everybody's loosened up a little bit, praise God. Sometimes we can get just a little too, you know, if you read the Bible, there's times Jesus said things, and if you just read it as in dogma, you're going to miss the point that Jesus had a personality. There's several of these times I think Jesus cracked a joke, but people miss it because they think Jesus was just a robot. Jesus had to have emotions. Jesus had to feel pain. He knew when it was cold. He felt hunger. Jesus also knew what it was like to fight pride, which is what we're going to continue on today. I began last week talking to you about pride and haughtiness. What the Bible says about these two particular things right off the bat, we're not getting into delving into where they come from today, but we're going to get into the basis of them and some of the words and what they mean. Because, you know, We've talked about it before here. People think that if you're a confident person, you must be prideful. Listen, I want my teachers to be confident. Otherwise, them kids are going to eat you up and spit you out. I want electricians to be confident. Otherwise, you're going to burn a building down. I want truck drivers to be confident. You're driving 80,000 pounds down the road. I want my kids to be confident behind the wheel of their 3,000-pound car. I want people to be confident in their abilities. Well, brother, don't you know I can do nothing without Christ? Listen, can I tell you a little something? People that go around throwing that all the time are usually arrogant. They're saying it out of pride. They don't mean it. Because sometimes what you're leading people to think, they're just so humble. I'm going to tell you right now, I can be prideful. Every one of us can be very prideful. Well, you wash your car every week. No, I wash it 3 times. I pay for an unlimited service, so why not? And it's not because I'm prideful. It's because I live in Ohio, man. And it's not kind to vehicles. So I want to keep that salt off, which is why I paid the unlimited service. I can be very prideful about things I've done, but they're done. That's it. I don't have anything to say, I can be prideful, look what I built. And I will tell you this, I didn't build this. This has all been God. I had to have help. Yes, I led the way because God was leading me, but I had to have help. I didn't clean this building myself. I didn't build these walls myself. I didn't hang the drywall myself. I had help. I didn't sit down and get the legal documents in place for this church by myself. I went to an attorney because my pastor that God told me to go to said, this is how you do it. I had to have help. Nobody pulls themselves up by their own bootstraps. But you do have abilities. You have to be confident. How would you like to have a pastor up here who doesn't know how to speak to people? There's still people still arguing that today. I'll just tell you this. I don't get the butterflies like I did in the beginning. I'm not holding on to the pulpit, reading every word I'm going to say off of a piece of paper and be done in 20 minutes. So y'all can forget the 20-minute stuff. No. You need to have confidence in the abilities God has given you. If you're a singer, I want you to sing with confidence. If you play an instrument, I want you to play it skillfully. Not questioning everything you do. That's not pride. It's called confidence. My first real job in the world came with a recruiting slogan that said, the few, the proud. And let me tell you what, we can be arrogant. We can be arrogant to the point we don't like each other. You can ask my wife. I found out I was going to have a neighbor that was a Marine. He's too close. We're not all the same. Believe it or not, there are some Marines that think that, well, you weren't a grunt, so you aren't a real Marine. Well, it's not what you were saying when you were boo-hooing around when you couldn't get food, and we had to bring it through hostile areas. There's a few out there like that. Then there's others that realize we're all Marines. We're all the same. Some of us just had other jobs. We're the same. I just have a different job. My job is to teach you about the Word. So I have to be confident in the Word. And that's why God told me to teach years ago as others have not taught. I'm not reading a book and then trying to teach you the book. I'm teaching you because I went down that road. I've battled pride and arrogance. And it still likes to rear its ugly head. Did you ever notice that? You get over something, especially those of you who are on diets and stuff, and you're working out. You finally overcome it, and then something pops up, and you're like, thought I had that under control. Or about your anger. You're doing good. A year goes by. I'm doing great. And then all of a sudden, some jack wagon pulls out in front of you. What are you doing? Rah! You lose your mind, right? Oh, and the worst part of it is your kid's in the back who beat you to the punch. What are you doing, you stupid idiot? Where'd you learn that? I'm guilty. I'll just tell you flat out right now, I am so guilty. My wife just looks at me when they were little. Pride is a deadly thing. We read last week in Proverbs. Here, I'll even give you the references if some of you would like to write them down if you need them. In Proverbs 16:18. Well, that told us that pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. But yet the truth of the matter is, the way we've always been taught that scripture is pride goes before a fall. No, it's not what the scripture says. We like to teach sentiment. We don't want to teach what the word says. Proverbs 11:2, Proverbs 8:13, Proverbs 13:10. Do you think there's a theme in Proverbs? Ezekiel 16:49-50, that was actually talking about Lucifer and how iniquity was found inside of him. That is where pride is. Pride comes from within, and then it manifests itself outwardly. And so when iniquity was found in Lucifer, because he was taking in compliments primarily, okay? I want to point out, folks, he did not fall for money. Everybody throws, money's the root of all evil. Again, wrong misquotation of the Bible. It's money is a root. A. That little one little word. Do I got any English teachers in here? Good. Because I'm going to mutilate it. A. That is a powerful word in that sentence. It's a root. Why? Because when you have a lot of money, you can be very prideful, right? So when you see somebody who's got money, and this is one thing that just kind of aggravates me. Oh, look, they're just so prideful. They're so hot. You look at that. They're driving around in their new car. They got money. I hope they got a new car. I hope they did it. Or, and here's one that really gets me. Well, you started seeing it on the show American Pickers, right? Anybody else used to watch? I don't watch it anymore. I'm like, it's white noise. But they'll show up to some guy's house, and he's got garbage. I mean, some of it is literal garbage piled up. He's got junk piled up. And they'll stop by and they'll say, man, I'll give you $1,000 for that rotted out old frame. Now, mind you, he picked it up on the side of the road somewhere for free. Now, it might be worth $5,000. It's only worth what somebody's going to give them for it. But this guy's offering, I'll give you $1,000 for that old bicycle frame. Well, I don't know. I think I'm just going to keep that, hold on to it, and I'm going to fix that up. You're 90! When are you planning on doing this? You've had it for 50 years! Here's a good rule of thumb on your junk, guys. You can ask my wife. I had a two-car garage for 15 years. And then when we moved, I had a nightmare on my hands. I didn't realize I could pack stuff away in there so well. But when we moved, God was good to me. I have 6,000 square feet of barn. 30 feet inside, man. It's kind of a waste because I can't stack stuff 30 feet tall. My ladders aren't big enough. And what I've started doing over the years after that move, I was like, I haven't touched this. I've had this for 15 years. I've been dragging it around for 15 years. Why? What am I going to do with it? Well, you never know, you might need it. Well, you know when you need it? 5 minutes after you threw it out and it's gone. That's when you need it. However, I got over it. And I started purging stuff. And I said, people, what about your stuff in your, you know, you want to sell it? Yeah, pretty much anything's for sale, right? You write a big enough check that clears? Operative. Yeah. What's in my barn? Now, I did have somebody try to buy a tire off of me. You know, what's a tire? Well, it's a Whippet. It's off of about a 1928 Whippet car. So it's wood spoked. It's a rim and the hub, and it's on. It has a motorcycle tire on it. Somebody, would you want to sell that? No, I don't really want to sell that. I like that. See, there's certain things. Because I know this. You're at a garage sale. You're not here to offer me good money for that. You're here to get a good deal. So, in all of that, Lucifer did not fall because of money. He fell because of pride. He mistook what God was giving him, the abilities. He had abilities. We need to read the word. He could walk through fire. He walked amongst the coals before God, presenting the offering of praise. By the way, all the horns that the Bible, you know, that we have created in our image of the devil, he's got horns, right? That's what we all do. They're trumpets. Read your Bible. They're trumpets and tambourines. He was literally a one-man band. And he fell because he began taking in and thinking it was all him. That's where you have to be careful with your confidence. You got to keep reminding yourself and in living it. I'm up here not because of how great I am, but because God, I wasn't God's first choice for this, just so y'all know. Just wasn't his first choice. The first choice got greedy, left. The other guy wasn't God's choice, but he held on for what he could until I could grow up, become more of a man, and learn to forgive people. So we have all these scriptures that talk about it. And I want to read some things, and these are some of the words that are used about pride in your Bible. These are our English definitions. The first one, arrogance. Well, we think we know what it is, right? But it means the act or quality. By the way, these are all nouns. Every one of them is a noun. It means it's something that can be possessed, a person, place, or thing. It can be had. It can be held. The act or quality of taking much upon oneself, this is arrogance, that species of pride which consists in exorbitant claims of rank, dignity, estimation of power, or which exalts the worth or importance of the person to an undue degree, proud and contempt of others. Now remember, I talked about, you know, rank and all that stuff, and, you know, military. But in the church, there's a lot of people it's getting goofy. There were terms that were used in the Bible in the beginning, like bishop. Now, I somebody says they're a bishop, I walk the other way. Because all you're trying to do is influence me. I don't even give a rip about your doctorate attached to your name. By the way, how many know what doctor really means? And I got this from, actually, my chiropractor. He goes by doctor. He said, all doctor means you can teach. He said, all these medical guys, they're physicians. They're not doctors. Not all of them can teach. I can teach. But I'll never claim the word doctor. And it came around quite a few years back now. One person got their doctorate. Next thing you know, this person got their doctorate. That. Listen, an honorary doctorate is like being an honorary Marine. There is no such thing. You either are or you're not, okay? Haughtiness. The quality of being haughty. Pride mingled with some degree of contempt for others. Are you seeing the pattern? Two of them right now. We've got contempt for other people. We'll get to the definition of contempt. Pride, inordinate self-esteem, unreasonable conceit in one's own superiority and talents. Listen, dude, you bounce a basketball, you put it through the hoop. My 10-year-old can do that. Let's remember who you are. You're an entertainer. There's nothing that hard about your job. In one's own superiority and talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distant, reserve, and often, you want to finish it? In contempt of others. Insolence, pride, or haughtiness, manifested in contemptuous and overbearing treatment of others. Contempt. Now, we've all heard this on any movie we've ever watched with a court, right? I hold you in contempt of court, and you know somebody goes to jail for a little while. The act, and this is not the same contempt, the act of despising, the act of viewing or considering and treating as mean, vile, and worthless, disdain. This word is one of the strongest expressive of a mean opinion which the language affords. All definitions point to how we're treating each other. Treating somebody like they're lesser. You know what? I don't hate gay people. I don't. Sin is sin, but I don't hate the person. The church has had a hard time differentiating the person from the sin. The Bible does call it a sin. Let's just stay there. It also calls pride a sin. Self-righteousness a sin. So before we go throwing stones at everybody else, how about we just put the stones down and work on us? Jesus was the one that said, how can you help your brother who has a stick? He got a little piece of grass in his eye. And you've got this hand-hewn beam. You can't see. I met my best friend in school because he had something in his eye. And I was the only one crazy enough to touch his eyeball. Second grade. He remembers. I was like, how did we meet? He said, don't you remember? I had a piece of leaf on my eye, and you were the only one who would touch my eyeball. The teacher wouldn't even touch it. Cool. He became my best man at my wedding. Can't touch his eyeball anymore. He's 6'4". As a matter of fact, I think I had to stand on the toilet to touch it then because I was in the second grade. So we have got to maintain us. It's not my job to call out somebody else's sin, except for from here. And if God tells me that I have to go talk to that person, I highly encourage you to listen, because I've tried to tell people things. God had told me that's a bad decision. And I preached and I preached and I preached and I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried and they still did it. And things did not go well. Just so you know, we can make plans all we want, but if we don't get God involved in that plan and say, you know what, God, it's your will for me, not my will. Like I've told you before, I wasn't coming back to Ohio. North Carolina's warm. Yeah, you got the hurricanes. I'd been in so many hurricanes and typhoons, it didn't matter anymore. So we saw Lucifer fell because of pride, not money. He looked at his own beauty, and he was lifted up, is how it explains it. So let's look at what Jesus said something about pride. Let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within a man and defile a man. It starts in here, folks. That is why it's important that we are paying attention to what we're taking in as well. I'm not going to tell you, well, you know what, you just need to only watch Christian TV. You only need to watch or buy from Christian stores. You only need to listen to Christian music. I don't agree with that anymore. And I'll tell you why. You need to be a grown-up. There's a couple artists, I was telling somebody, I said, I like their music. I said, this guy's got an awesome voice. But I said, there are songs that he and his group do I have to shut off. Because I feel rage burning within me. And it's not a good thing. But then there's some of the other songs. I'm good. Well, I only watch Christian actors. Well, then you just better quit going to the movie theater. Because there ain't many of them in Hollywood. There's just a few, and they aren't in many of the movies you're going to watch at the theater. Well, you need to ask God, do I need to go see this? Is this a good movie for me? The Holy Spirit will tell you right then and there, no, it's not. It's not good. We need to be careful how we're bringing things out. Now, there's times I will share with you things I've done, good and bad. You ain't going to hear too many people actually give you kind of details that I've given on bad things I've done. I don't tell them to glorify who I was. I was just a human. That's how we all act without Christ ruling in our lives. I knew who Christ was, but he was not calling the shots. The good things. If I tell you a good thing, I already know. The Bible says if I tell you, then I lose my reward. I will give it up to let you know. You need to do things like that. You know, maybe you need to pay it forward. Help somebody out who's a couple pennies short in their grocery bill. Help carry something out for somebody. Well, I don't get paid for that. Oh, wah. Jesus called it laying up treasures in heaven, not here. If you want paid here, you know, here's the great thing. Most of us got a little bit of savings, right? Maybe got a little bit of savings, very little bit nowadays, it seems. But we all try to put a little bit of money away, right? What's that money worth? If tomorrow the government says all your money is useless, we're switching. We're going to give you pennies on the dollar for every dime you've worked your entire life for to put away. I hope that you have been trusting God. I hope that you have been allowing God to help you lay up those treasures in heaven. Well, that's all for there. No, I don't think you understand. When you trust God and all that, God provides. God will take care of you. But Pastor, you don't know what it's like. The gas, I have a 23-gallon tank. Don't tell me I don't know what it's like. I drop $80 every time I put gas in that thing. And it's just gasoline, and I burn the cheap stuff. I feel for guys with diesels. But keep thanking God you can pay for it. And yes, I did some grocery shopping the other day. Usually she does that. I got sticker shock. I'm like, wow. But then I still bought strawberries for $1.50. For, was it 2 pounds? Is that what Kroger's had them? 2 for $3. I was like, how are they still this cheap? That's usually what they are every year. Takes 10 pounds of sugar to sweeten them up, but I ain't gonna lie. They aren't like the ones that come out of my garden. So Jesus is warning us that pride comes from within here. Okay? It's what you start acting, how you start acting. Oh, you're just such a great human being. You know, you can say, well, thank you, but I'm not always great. You're allowed to say thank you. I think when people, and I've seen them, well, no, don't thank me, you thank God. No, you just need to stop, say thank you. And you give glory to God. See, that's where it stopped. Lucifer quit giving the glory back to God. The beings that were worshiping him said, that were worshiping before him to worship God, and as he brought it forth, they said, man, who is like you? Who is like you? I think that's what triggered Paul when he was preaching and the woman came up and started shouting, behold, these are men of the Most High God. Listen to them. He picked up real quick on the pride that she was trying to instill in them. Now, Paul, I think there's sometimes you could look, he could be a little rough with people, to put it mildly, and he knew that. But you need to understand something. Every time Paul got stoned, every time he was beaten, every time he was imprisoned, all Paul had to say, I'm a Roman citizen. Three words. You know why? Because the Jews would have trembled when they put him in those prisons, when they beat him, when they threw a rock at him. All Paul had to do was say that, and a Roman soldier did not need permission to defend him. He was supposed to be held at trial. Not, we don't like what you say, so we're going to run you out of town. And I like doing these voices, so just live with them. Keeps the characters real, right? So they threw rocks at him. And we're not talking, you know, little rocks like this. We're talking rocks like this. Because they buried them under those rocks. But he didn't do it because the people he was traveling with were not. He would have escaped the punishment, but they would have had to have suffered. And he said, I'll take the suffering. So no matter what our opinions may be of the Apostle Paul, I can tell you right now, that man was humble. Because there's times I've read it, I'm like, Paul, you were a Roman citizen. Why didn't you say, hey, yo, flashing my card, my club card here, you can't do this. But they could to the other people, and Paul refused to do it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. The pride of life. We're Americans. Be proud. I am proud to be an American. Until I go overseas. And I see my fellow Americans acting like they're entitled brats. See, in this country, we think that the world loves us. No, the third world countries love us. Europe despises us. Japan despises us. Now, personally, I could go back and throw it on, well, any country that decides to attack us and we kick your butt in battle, it's what you got to live with. But you need to understand the arrogancy that Americans go overseas with. We think we have American rights in another country. You have no rights except for what those people are going to give you. You don't get to voice your opinion in Russia. They don't have that right. You don't get to say what you want in China. You can't go tell somebody, be blessed and feel the love of God. You're going to prison. Oh, I'm in prison. What do you think was going to happen? Be smart. That's how come there's so many home churches in China. They're careful. They're smart. They work. The beginning of the church of Jesus Christ, period, had to operate the same way. They engaged their brains and swallowed their pride. But now we're told, well, we have Christian pride. No. Two words that should never come in contact with each other. Christian and pride. But Americans, we go overseas and we do what we want to do. I've told the story before when I was in, I think I was still in the Philippines when I read about this guy. He was from Westerville, Ohio. Some of you may remember reading about it or hearing about it. He was was he 19? I don't know. He was right out of high school, and he went to Singapore. He was in Singapore, decided he was going to go out, and he's just going to be a jerk, be a fool. So he started egging people's Mercedes. Now, first off, you need to understand what an egg will do to a paint job. It's as bad as shaving cream. It will eat into the paint. So if you're going to write anything on your loved one's car, do not use shaving cream. Soap works fine. Better yet, don't write anything on their car at all. They're not cheap. They held a trial. They caught this kid. It was a prank. It's a harmless prank. No, it wasn't. He damaged these cars. Thought he could get away with it. Well, they arrested him. Oh, his mommy and daddy were throwing a fit. Oh, you wrongfully imprisoned my child. I don't know. Hey, Junior's in another country. You play by their rules. When I was in Ukraine several years back, I kept my mouth shut as much as possible. I even had to be careful preaching. And anyhow, he was found guilty, and they're going to spank him. Hey, let's get it over with. We got a spanking. Well, they have a different word for it over there. It's called caning. If you're not familiar with caning, it's a bamboo cane, a reed like, and it's split. And he's wearing a diaper, a linen cloth, just to protect, you know. And he's basically like that. And the cane is not just as, you know, back in the day, go cut me a switch, and don't you come back with a piece of junk either. Yeah, that one's too good. All right, that one will break about the second swat. They rear back, and they bring it across the back of his legs. Took him a while to relearn how to walk because it bruises the bone. Do you think Junior's going to be egging anybody else's cars? I would hope he got his lesson learned. But all our State Department was all up in arms about this. He's in a foreign country, dude. We have no authority. Absolutely none. And here's the thing I always find is hilarious. You know, our embassies, that's American soil. That's what it's supposed to be, right? You do know that's just a piece of paper. The fact of the matter is, it's still in Afghanistan. It's still in Moscow. It is still in China. It's still on their land. And that's the way I look at it here. Y'all want to come over here and start trouble? That's still American soil. I don't care what a little piece of paper says. You don't come over in my country and break the rules. I think diplomatic immunity should be gone. At least I've watched too many TV shows. I'll just be honest. I got diplomatic immunity. Which one was it? Lethal Weapon. Diplomatic immunity. It's been revoked. So, pride is a bad thing for us. We can't just Well, I'm just going, a little bit of pride. It's all we're talking. No, I'm not talking about self-confidence and the abilities God has given you. If you can paint, if you're an artist, give glory to God. But when somebody says that's beautiful, you can say thank you. Because you did do it. You had the option of disobeying God and not developing your gift. Well, I have absolutely no gifts. That's a lie. Everybody's got a gift. Well, you know, I'm not a Picasso or, well, thank God you're not Picasso. Thank God you're, man, what they call art? I like to be able to identify what I'm looking at, personally. If it's a woman with a baby stroller, that's what I want to look at. Not an eyeball up here, a wheel over here, bottle over here. That's just somebody that can't put something together. That must have been a man who can't read directions. But we're going to stop there for today, because I do want to do we want to pray. And yes, I know, because I don't read the directions either. My wife has been on me for 31 years. Just read the directions. I know how this goes. Why do you have a handful of screws left over? I didn't need them. Oh, just so y'all ladies know, they do put extras in now. They are. Legitimately. They're not just, well, I don't need that. So, but we're going to pray. Rob, if you'll bring up the prayer requests. You know, and during your prayer time, I encourage you to pray for our government. That needs to be something we're bringing before God regularly. Just, you don't have to sit and watch all the news reports and find it. Just hit the hot spots and get what you need. They're trying to pick a Supreme Court justice who's playing a political game. As my wife said last night, the little boy from kindergarten cop, 5 years old, he knew the difference between a boy and a girl. We don't need people who are going to misinterpret the law for either side. I'll just tell you that right now. I don't want a justice, just because I agree with you on most things, who's going to pervert the truth to fit my narrative. If my narrative's wrong, it needs to adjust. But I will tell you right now, every nation that we've seen rise in the last at least 2,000 years, possibly even before that. Well, I know before that, because Greece was before that. When all the things we're seeing start to come up, pride is fueling them all. Okay? When they come up, they fall. They fall. Part of the reason Ukraine is standing up and Russia seems to be, and they are getting their butt spanked because, like I said, Bob's got a direct line right over there and he's talking to them. So all these people saying that it's staged, it's fake, turn them off, please. It's real. People are dying and Ukraine is standing up. And they do have John Deere tractors dragging those tanks down the road. But you need to understand something. It's pride. Russia invaded thinking they were just going to run over these little Ukrainians. Here's what people didn't know. Some of the guys that came across the border, they didn't realize they were invading Ukraine. They were put on a transport, sent somewhere, and they were told they were newbies. Hadn't even gone to boot camp yet. They're like, they wanted to amass a big army, so they put them on the border. And they got across there and they found out they were in Ukraine. And some of them are like, my grandma's from Ukraine. I'm not going to go kill my grandma. This is wrong. And they just walked off. That's why there's so many abandoned vehicles. They didn't prepare. They didn't think that the Ukrainians were going to stand up. They didn't think that, as I understand, there's a whole little detachment of prior service military from the United States who have gone over on their own dime. They're supporting Ukrainians. It's theirs. Do it. You want to do it? Do it. But pride is what lured him into that trap. Oh, by the way, just so you know, I believe Russia is probably leading the world in human trafficking as far as sending it out. Just so you know. All right. Well, we got a few prayer requests here, so we'll go before the Lord, we'll pray, and then we can get ready to go eat. Amen? All right, let's start praying. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I come before you today in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity that I can first off teach your word, but Father, that we can all learn. Now, Father, I pray right now as we come before your throne, that you hear these requests, Father, and we're going to stand knowing that you're answering them. You're moving according to these things in your will. So, Father, we pray all things that are done according to your will.